This is the I Am a Mainframer podcast, brought to you by the Linux Foundation's Open Mainframe Project. Episodes explore the careers of mainframe professionals and offer insights into the industry and technology. Now your host, Senior Analyst and Vice President of Sales and Business Development at Futurum Research, Stephen Dickens.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the I'm a Mainframer podcast. I'm your host, as always, Stephen Dickens, and this week I'm joined by Rick Perret from Broadcom. Hey, Rick, welcome to the show.
Steve, it's a pleasure. First time.
First time guest, long time listener.
Yes, absolutely. I absolutely enjoy the interviews that you do.
So let's get the listeners and viewers orientated. You and I know each other well, but keen to maybe give you the chance to introduce what you do. Know you take a really active role in the community as well as working for Broadcom. So maybe let's start there.
Yeah. So what I do for Broadcom is I'm responsible for IT analyst relations as well as open source software, what we call open mainframe marketing here at Broadcom. And I actually joined in 2018 when it was CA Technologies. And at the time that I joined, I was also affiliated with OMP from the perspective that as part of my responsibilities, it was being part of the marketing committee, if you will. So at that early instantiation of one of the big projects, Zoe, and I was there from the start. So
there's lots to come back to there. Maybe let's double click on the Broadcom piece first. Maybe Broadcom's a big organization. A lot of people will have known it as CA, the piece from the mainframe. And maybe just start there and give us a little bit of a double click on your role and what you do there for the team.
Right. So obviously I sit within the mainframe. You know, Broadcom is a big company. There's both a semiconductor side, which is pretty well known to a lot of people. Well, maybe not as well known, but certainly there are certain component parts that are, you know, in everyone's cell phones, if you will. I'll leave it at that. And then there's a software side, if you will. And that obviously initially began with the acquisition of CA Technologies. And so what I do here, you know, in particular, you know, when you think of software and Broadcom, there is mainframe, there is Symantec, and then there is what we call an enterprise software division, which is really the non-mainframe element part of the business. So in my role, you know, I deal across the different value streams within our mainframe division, from DevOps to security, AI ops and ITOM, if you will, and, you know, database tools and so forth. But, you know, my role in working with the analyst community, of which obviously, you know, when you're wearing your other hat, that's what you focus on.
You get to wrangle me and deal with me.
I get to wrangle you and a whole bunch of other people, but you know, that's good. I think, you know, the analyst relationships, not just from a Broadcom perspective, but when I put my OMP hat on, I started really a process of engaging the analyst community and getting them more familiar, right, with what OMP does. And in fact, in Atlanta, you know, the Share event in Atlanta, you know, we had actually a couple of analysts show up, and they attended, you know, a lot of the sessions that were specific around OMP, as well as we've had IDC, Forrester, as well as Gartner attend some of the OMP's virtual summits. And when OMP had the summit last year in Philly, we had, you know, Brent Ellis and Katie Norton, Brent from Forrester and Katie from IDC, attend the OMP summit. And they each did a nice write-up about, you know, what was covered. And that was exciting. As did you, of course. You did a write-up as well. I'm not
part of the family. So you touched on the Open Mainframe Project, the OMP. You've been with it since the introduction of Zoe. I think, and we talked about it when we were trying to convince you to come on as a guest for this show. You're like, well, I'm not a technical guy. I'm not a mainframe guy. But my big thing about these communities and the open source movement is you don't have to be a technical guy. You don't have to be down and be a coder to be contributing to the platform and contributing to the community. My contribution back to the community is that I host this podcast every month. Right. I'm not a coder. I'm massively passionate about open source on the mainframe and that platform being moved forward, but I've got some skills and they're not coding skills. You don't want me writing code, but I would try and help by hosting this. I know you do great work on the marketing committee. Maybe just explain that to the listeners, because you know, you're very humble of saying, you know, I'm not a technical guy, but I think there's a lot of value you bring to the Open Mainframe project.
Well, yeah. And when I say I'm not a technical, well, I've done programming, right? You know, in, I won't say how long ago it was, but I've done programming in the past, right? Prior to here, prior to Broadcom, I spent a few years at IBM and spent probably half of that time working at the Watson Research Center, dealing with a lot of the researchers there around some highly technical, in some highly technical areas from a business development perspective. So obviously a big part of that was understanding the emerging technologies from there, but most importantly, how do those technologies create value to a business at the end of the day? And even technical people and technicians need to understand, obviously, that, and researchers, right, need to understand that the best ideas die unless they show value to someone. And certainly marketing, us as marketers, we're all about certainly trying to communicate value in the most simple and effective way. And when I think about what we do with, you know, let's say OMP in particular, what we obviously we try to get the word out. Mm-hmm. What we're trying to do, we want to create these vehicles that enable the technologists that are from, you know, all the different member organizations or outside, you know, they can be customers that are leveraging different parts of, you know, whether they're involved with open education, whether they're, you know, whoever's in the ecosystem, they have a platform for which they can talk to podcasts, right? Blogging, presentation at events, you know, all of the different things that marketing does. Plus a lot of it's, you know, like how and why do we talk about things to the marketplace? That often is the tough part, right?
It's tough. I mean, community marketing is hard. There's not a physical product. There's not a kind of, the budgets are challenged. But I think you guys do a great job of getting the message out. I mean, as I say, this is my contribution to the community. But I think as a volunteer force with limited budgets, you guys punch above your weight. So maybe let's spend some time there talking about the types of marketing and things that the project's doing. I think people may have seen it. They may have seen the Open Mainframe project on social platforms. They might have seen this podcast. What are you guys doing and how are you really trying to get that message out?
Yeah, so there are certainly things, they obviously different levels. They can be from an in-person perspective or virtual. Obviously, an event is certainly one of the capstone things that we try to do. And those tend to, you know, those draw a lot of different people. Definitely blogging. There is a blog, you know, we obviously have a blog presence on the OMP website. For Zoe specifically, we also have a Medium site. You know, one of the things that Broadcom actually started specific to Zoe, because that certainly was one of the ways that people were engaging from that standpoint. Blogging is always, you know, something that enables us to dive more deeply right into a specific, you know, technology or architecture issue, demo something, show what's, you know, in the realm of the possible or lessons learned. When you think about press, you know, we try to reach out, you know, through obviously press releases, you know, the recent donation of the Z15 to the project. Obviously, we supported that from a PR standpoint, and as well as getting, you know, raising awareness to a broader community that this platform is available. The mentoring program. Yeah, that's a sort of an interesting one. And I know you and I tried to get something going a few years back. And it just didn't work out for a variety of reasons. But, you know, we have a pretty active, you know, mentorship. And a lot of that's really, you know, the marketing committee folks, you know, ride the different people in our organizations to say, hey, these are really important activities to you know, bring up the next generation. So I certainly played a role in making sure within Broadcom that are there projects that we have that might be something that, you know, could benefit from some, you know, new young talent that's hungry to learn.
Yeah, I've always been a fan of the mentorship program. To any of our younger listeners who are looking to use this podcast as a way to learn about mainframes and get involved and maybe look to build a path to getting a career, the mentorship program's a fantastic thing to get involved in over the summer.
Yeah,
we're obviously closed now for this year, but certainly next year, be looking at that as a way to sort of start your career and get involved for sure.
And we do a lot on social. You know, we being mailing is a lot, Twitter, LinkedIn. That's really important, right? Because that's where that's sort of the next gen of talent. Those are the watering holes that they have, and so it's just all part of sort of modernization, if you will. From a marketing perspective, for the last,
and I think that's the key thing. The fun thing for me about the Open Mainframe project is we've got experienced professionals, we've got people who are senior executives. Greg takes an active role, I know, in your organization, and a number of others do in promoting the Open Mainframe project. But we've also got to engage some of those students and some of those kind of early professionals. I know you're passionate about that. I mean, what would you say to those kind of early professionals looking for a career? And I know Broadcom does a lot beyond code. You've got a whole program there.
Right.
So maybe just spend a couple of minutes describing that for us, if you would.
Yeah, and certainly if you've had Greg on different things, when you look at who the typical, there's a lot of what I would call bias or misperceptions on mainframe. I had a conversation earlier today on this with someone in particular outside of Broadcom. And you know, sometimes what you don't know, there's a fear of something you don't know, or there's just a fear of, you know, sometimes people just, you know, we're in a social media ADD driven world where you tend to see a snippet of something and then all of a sudden, you know, that becomes the truth. And look, I don't have a deep mainframe background, right? I was not involved with mainframe at all until coming here. When I was, like I said, when I was at, before I came here, when I was at IBM, I absolutely was not involved with mainframe in any deep capacity. Prior to that, when I did IT consulting, it was more around, IT business, you know, analysis and consulting. So it was, you know, sort of removed from the technology more and driving tech requirements based on business issues. So part of it, and this is something we all have to work hard on, is, let's remove we're all good at removing biases from different perspectives. Well, let's take that same kind of approach to other things like the technologies and platforms and things that you work with.
Yeah, I agree completely. We see a lot of cloud, for instance, is the answer. What's the question?
That's starting to change, though. I don't want to get into that, but that definitely, there's been a somewhat of a tectonic shift right over the past, I would say, 18, 2 years on that one.
Yeah, so. I'm starting to see a lot more cloud repatriation, people thinking about where workloads should sit, which is healthy.
Absolutely. Plus, you'll see analysts like Gartner, IDC, and others, Forrester, talk about this idea of it's not cloud or mainframe, right? It's cloud and mainframe. And that's a whole different conversation.
Yeah, for sure. So starting to think about how we wrap up here, I always ask a couple of questions as we start to come towards the end. The one question, you get the opportunity to go back to chat to young Rick, age 22 years old. I know that's only 5 or 6 years ago for you, Rick, but
of course,
you only get chance to go back to chat to 22-year-old self. Yep. What advice would you give? We have a lot of younger listeners on the show.
Yeah, certainly. Give? Probably I would say buy stock in certain companies. No, I'm just kidding.
That's great. That is actually great advice.
Yeah. No, seriously, though, I think of a couple of things. One is, you know, this idea of work. You know, there's a lot of people, as they think about work and do they love it or not, or I would tell someone early on, you know, follow what you love and make sure you love what you do. You know, that some of these things may seem a little trite. I don't know, but I started thinking about this. And so if you don't love what you do, it causes all sorts of other things that aren't good things, you know, both mentally and physically, you know, to your health, if you will. That would be one thing. Mm-hmm. You know, another thing, and I see this, especially being in mainframe, you know, appreciate the things, you know, those that have come before you. There's such a things, you know, these philosophies around agility, around transformation, sometimes take a path of throwing the baby out with the bathwater, right? And I think it's important to really appreciate not, you know, the people that have come before you, but, you know, that, you know, just the dynamics of what, of the environment that was before you, you know, things, there were things that worked well before and things that have adapted over time. Remember that, you know, as you go forward and as you progress and adapt, you know, in the future.
We're standing on the shoulders of giants, basically.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, I think about this one, and this is always something I've always remembered this is, and you people, we all have to remember this, right? You know, something that you want or need is oftentimes like right in front of you and you didn't see it. And I had this story of when I was looking for a boat, right? I was looking for a sailboat, and you know, I live in Connecticut here, and I was looking for a boat, and I was driving all over the place, you know, New Jersey, up in Maine. I drove up to Maine, you know, driving this, you know, Southeast Massachusetts, all over the place, to look for something. And what I ended up getting, right, was right in my backyard, basically. It was, you know, it was right in front of me. I'd looked at it earlier, sort of dismissed it, but then after looking at all these other things, you know, it came back to, hey, this is what I want and need is right in front of me. And it was right there, right in my backyard. So I think that's an important thing to remember, because we oftentimes can be dismissive, you know, in if you look at the way society functions.
I think some great parallels there for people as look at technology choices. It's always good to check. People are always keen to chase the shiny object and go for the new thing. But I think the analogy there you're making is that the mainframe is often right in front of your face. It's been for decades. It does what it does. It does a good job. Why go chase the shiny object?
Yeah. It. Look, I'm a tech savvy as everyone else out there, and use all forms of technology, but everything has a role at the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, the other question I always ask, and I'm interested to get your perspective, where do you see the mainframe platform 3-5 years out? We know they're going to be a Z16, moving to a Z17. So not trying to get that next box, but trying to understand where you see the platform maybe beyond that horizon.
Right. So, you know, let me start with this one. Maybe it'll sound somewhat controversial, but we will have no more of these, you know, my predictions, right? We will have no more of these I Am a Mainframer podcasts. And let me tell you why, though.
We need to rebrand the show. Is that what you're telling me?
No, because I think in 5 years, you know, the world will see the platform for what it is. Mm-hmm. And so shows like this, I know this is not going to come, but it feels like this won't matter because it's people see the platform for what it is. And it's not like we're here trying to talk about why this platform exists, why it's great, and so forth. So I you know, that to me is that would be a good thing.
Building obsolescence, making unemployed by making the platform.
There you go. And I think 5 years from now, people are already starting to see the risks of increased and more intense digitization, right? and how it's exposing organizations to additional risk and the need for you know, being more resilient, if you will. And so you look at things like, you know, generative AI, great. I'm very supportive of it and excited about it, but it also has the potential to drive a lot of misinformation, missed decisions, you know, and therefore these are things we need to be, how that plays out, who knows. But I do think at the end of the day, people are going to see the need as you get more digital, you know, the need to be more resilient to, you know, to be risk managed becomes really important.
Yeah, I agree.
So 100%. I think those are two big things I see, you know, hopefully 5 years out where the you know, the platform is going to, you know, how the ecosystem or, you know, that which surrounds the platform will look.
I couldn't agree more. Planned obsolescence, try and get me out of a job of the podcast host. All joking aside, though, I think we're going to see that specificity around the platform become, it's just, we're already seeing it. It's becoming part of that hybrid cloud strategy. The strangeness of where the platform was maybe 10 years ago and the unusualness of it, we're not seeing
and
that.
I think to that point, you see, and I'm hoping that we'll see a more meaningful shift in the talent pool, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where there will be more people who are next gens, and next gens can be anyone from someone graduating out of college to someone who's mid-career, you know, working on the platform. And therefore, by better understanding it, you're more open to all of the modern and open things that you can do with the platform. Obviously, open what mainframe project is trying to drive. So,
yeah. Couldn't agree more. Well, Rick, this has been a fantastic conversation. Thank you for jumping on.
Of course.
Always a pleasure.
Same here, Steve. Take care. Thanks.
You've been listening to the I'm a Mainframer podcast. If you like what you hear, please click and subscribe, and we'll see you next time. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you for tuning in to I Am a Mainframer. Liked what you heard? Subscribe to get every episode or watch us online at openmainframeproject.org. Until next time, this is the I Am a Mainframer podcast. Insights for today's mainframe professionals.